Okay, yo, yo, yo. Thank you for spending some time with us today. I'm John, and this is John's Take, a podcast by Cairo. Very original title, which I think was very well put together. Today, we have a special guest with us, an individual who's very well known in the Japanese-American community, especially around Little Tokyo, for the amount of time and effort he spends with different organizations, his volunteerism, and he's a very well-rounded individual, very highly thought of. I'm talking about Kent, who comes to us from northern San Diego County. And one of the things that he is very proud of is the fact that he is an Eagle Scout. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit more as we get through the podcast. Kent, you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure thing. Thanks, John. And thank you, Cato, for having me for this podcast. My name is Kent, and I am, like John said, from northern county San Diego, from Troop 787. Very proud Eagle Scout. I am a half Yonsei, half Shinisei. My mom is a Sansei, and my dad is an immigrant from Japan, specifically from Kumamoto Prefecture.
Well, great. You know, Mother's Day was, we just passed Mother's Day, and we have Memorial Day that's coming up. And when I think about these holidays, I think about the people that are involved in them, you know, like our parents. For Memorial Day, I always think of my uncle who was in the 442nd. And, I think back on their times and their lives and what they did, what their work ethic was like, because I always remember my parents talking about how hard my grandparents worked. And then I looked at how hard my parents worked. And I was thinking about this work ethic by generations. And Kent, I know that your family has been in northern San Diego County for a long time, has a very long relationship with like everything that goes on there. Could you share with us a little bit about what's your perception of, say, your grandfather's work ethic was?
Sure, yeah. So maybe a little bit of background. My great-grandfather, my grandpa's father, came here in the late 1800s. He was not the firstborn, so he was able to freely, I guess, immigrate from Japan to America, ended up in Southern California at some point, and pursued small farming. I think they were in the Downey area starting off, doing a little bit of farming there, and then, of course, executive order happens, and they were shipped off to Poston, Arizona, and it was at that point where my grandpa, I think, was coming of age. He hit 18 while he was in camp, was able to go to Chicago to, I think, explore the world a little bit outside of the camp. He got to work in an auto place and learn how to work on cars, which he still uses that knowledge to this day. And then they ended up moving to Colorado after the war, did some farming there. But I think where my grandpa really cut his teeth into, you know, work ethic was when they moved to the San Luis Rey Valley in Oceanside and really did some more, much more large-scale farming from there. So my grandpa's one of three brothers. Their farm was based on that, and each brother had their role. My grandpa really oversaw a lot of the crew and oversaw a lot of the tractors and a lot of a lot of the business stuff is what he was overseeing as well. So I have a lot of respect for the guy. From the stories that I've heard, he didn't get much sleep. He was up really early in the morning, overseeing the fields, overseeing the work, the growing of the berries or the tomatoes, and then ended his work days by fixing tractors or working on trucks, farm trucks. So,
yeah. How much education did your grandfather have?
Great question. I think he just has a high school diploma, if that.
And he was honored in the Nisei Week Parade a couple of years ago, correct?
That's right. In 2015, he was honored as a Nisei Week Pioneer Award or Pioneer Spirit Award.
So the picture I see of him in the car smiling and waving, that's a real smile?
That is a genuine smile of a gentleman in his early 90s, I think.
And he is how old now?
He just turned 100. We just celebrated his 100th birthday.
And how did you help celebrate that?
Well, my mom and her siblings threw a wonderful party. We invited 100 of our relatives, family, friends, and Just a really nice time to just recognize him, bring everyone together, and it was a great excuse, I think, just to gather.
Do you think your grandfather's work ethic carried down to two generations, you know, through your parents? And do you think the way he lived his life or lives his life has any effect on how and what you do today?
I feel like I can't say it's 100% him or 100% anything. It's probably a mixture of him and my grandma, to be honest. And, you know, while my grandpa was tending to field work or looking at the berries, my grandma was also at home raising five kids, you know, and that's not easy work in itself as well. But I would say generationally, 100% of the work ethic that my mom had, I think she can attest that to being raised by both of my grandparents, who had very strong work ethic. Again, working the field or working in the packing shed. Even my mom and her sisters worked in the packing shed, packing berries and tomatoes, right? So, and then my mom and one of her sisters became teachers, public school teachers. And as a child, watching my mom go into campus on the weekend and getting her curriculum ready, getting her supplies ready. I even went to the copy room with her on the weekends, and we made copies of lesson plans and things and materials for the kids. Those are things that I even take today, right, where if things cannot get done during the week, then I am taking some time on the weekends or finding some time after work to make sure that I'm getting things done that I need to get done.
Well, I think your grandfather would be proud of you for doing things like that or caring about whatever it is you're doing enough to, you know, spend additional time doing that. On a personal note, I remember way back when I was going to school, I had the opportunity to meet a gentleman in Monterey. His daughter was my college roommate's girlfriend. So we would go down every so often. I got to meet him, his name was Kiyoshi. And he lived a pretty tough life. He was a fisherman out of Terminal Island prior to World War II. When 906-6 came into being, he was sent to first Tuna Canyon Assembly Center and then to Heart Mountain. And so after the war, wasn't able to fish anymore. So the family moved to Monterey, and you did whatever you could do to earn money. He had a family of three at the time, his wife, oldest daughter, and then there were three more daughters that came along in the next three or four years. So he became a gardener. He had a gardening route in Monterey, worked 6.5 days a week. On Saturday night, after his gardening job, he would sleep a little bit and then go to the VFW at Fort Ord and clean up the VFW hall, because they always have parties and gatherings there. So he would do that early in the morning. And then Sunday, he'd take Sunday afternoon off, and Sunday night, he had a job cleaning the officers' club at Fort Ord. And he did this, 51 days out of the year. Took 1 week off, and the family would go to the state fair in Sacramento. And he thought that was great because he didn't have to garden, and the girls said, oh, it was so hot, and it was so dry, and it was so dusty. But that was his life. And it was like, you know, so dedicated to be able to just provide for his family. And also, you know, he was sending money home to Japan because, you know, after the war, a lot of people were still in pretty bad shape. And so when I was working, you know, I would have some, you know, pretty tough days. And I'd always think back about, you know, as bad as I'm having, or I think I'm having it, boy, Mr. Kiyoshi-san, you know, did so much more. And, you know, although he never was, you know, driving Cadillacs or anything like that, raised three, you know, lovely young ladies who, you know, married and, you know, went on to have their own families and all. And, you know, another side item to this is their oldest daughter, who was born in camp, would be the first of the family to go to college. And they were very, very proud of that. So she was accepted in San Jose State, went for orientation. She was killed in an auto accident. And you think about you think about, you know, the tragedy, plus you just, you know, you can't take time off. You know, you have to keep working, and you just kind of live through, you know, it's like, what is it, shigata ganai?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the Nisei and the Issei, you know, really had that ingrained in them. And I always think about that kind of rolling downstream, you know, to our generation, mm-hmm. or my generation, and, you know, Yonsei, and how that, you know, kind of affected us mm-hmm. in the way we do things. And, you know, especially like you were saying, your, you know, your mother's influence and all. What would you think about your generation's work ethic in comparison with maybe your parents or your grandparents? Mm. Because I know you, millennials sometimes have kind of a bad rap, but I'm not being one. It's hard for me to, you know, say anything.
You're not a millennial, John?
Oh, no.
Great question. You know, I think I do my best to surround myself with people who I closely align with, you know, depending on our views, our maybe even work ethic. And something I heard from a good friend, you know, he said, you are the average of your five closest friends. So I do my best to surround myself with good people so that, you know, we are all successful together. For the millennials I surround myself with, everyone, I think in their own way, is successful. And success can be defined in different ways. Some folks are buying homes. Some folks are starting families. Some folks are just getting along with their careers. And I think as far as work ethic goes, it is pretty much the same. We're all in this to do our best to provide for ourselves or our families. No one in my circles is really having a hard time trying to feed themselves, so I think that's always a plus. But at the end of the day, everyone is just trying to survive right now. I think it's another reality. But I think as far as the work ethic goes for a lot of young people, maybe Yonseis or Shinniseis, the folks who I'm seeing, they tend to be doing really well with the work ethic-wise, and I think that is a direct reflection of maybe some influence from post-war times, from encouragement from their parents to, you know, go to college, get a degree, to pursue something bigger than themselves. And I can't say that's, you know, the case for every millennial out there, because I know there are a lot of folks who are disadvantaged and they don't have those opportunities that a lot of us have. But at the same time, I think there's a lot out there for us to be able to take advantage of. And I'm seeing a lot of folks really seizing opportunities, especially in my circles. So as far as the work ethic goes, I think I'm seeing a lot of good stuff.
Well, from my vantage point, I would agree with you. I see a lot of positives, you know, from the millennial group. And every time, you know, I get together with my friends who are baby boomers, it's like, boy, these kids are really smart. But, I guess it's, you know, the time and place, too, where, you know, our grandparents, our parents, you know, a lot of our parents didn't have the opportunities that we were able to have, you know, because of the times and the sacrifices they had to make to get through are pretty much the same as, you know, kind of, you know, nowadays, you know, what we have to get through, although it's not, you know, the as bad as it was, there's still, you know, lots and lots of problems out there. Mm-hmm. And being able to take what we've learned from the past and enable us to, you know, be successful, or at least, you know, be able to get by in today's world is, you know, I think something that, you know, I will always thank my grandparents, my parents, and my relatives for, because, you know, they set the bar for us.
Absolutely.
Or at least for me.
Yeah. I am very grateful for the Iseis, the Niseis, and the Sanseis who have laid a foundation for us Yonseis, Goseis, Shinniseis to be able to have this foundation that we can prop ourselves up on and be successful in our own ways. There's so many folks out there who, you know, like my friends who are artists, right? Like, there's a lot of artists who were Niseis and Sanseis, but not as many as I see today. And I think a lot of that is because there is a sense of security, right, that they have, but also that there is this foundation of there are so many Sansei artists or Nisei artists who laid that groundwork for them to be able to come in and have an industry that's already set for them. And even for, you know, we have like JABA, the Japanese American Bar Association. There's a lot of Japanese American lawyers, and because of that foundation that was laid out before them as well.
That's a great point. You know, to get back to something we kind of started out with when I mentioned your Eagle Scout, and the way the conversation's been kind of going is, you know, everything was kind of building on what came before us. So how do you think your being an Eagle Scout helped you be who you are today?
I feel like everything is just, like you said, built around this. I was in the scouting program starting in kindergarten. My mom brought me a brochure and said, hey, the school has a Cub Scout program. Do you want to join? And so within a matter of weeks or months, I had that orange shirt, put the orange T-shirt on, and I was at my first Cub Scout gathering. Just so happened that a lot of my friends in kindergarten and first grade were also involved too, so that worked out. And then just going through the years and the ranks, I learned so many tangible and invaluable skills that I still carry to this day. You know, I tie a lot of knots when I go fishing, and I learned all those knots, you know, in the program. Leadership skills, I use all of those leadership skills today. Communication skills, how do you lead a team and communicate effectively? And then, of course, I think one of the biggest things is setting a goal and working towards achieving that goal, whether it's your Eagle Scout project or working on a Cato caregiver conference, right? I think there's something to that that I learned in the program. And, of course, there's a lot of the fun things, too, learning how to handle firearms and, you know, pocket knives and throwing hatchets and all of that. But a lot of it is really good values that's instilled in the young boys in the program now, what young women, girls can join, too. But just a really great foundation for things to do that you can take advantage on later in life, and it's ingrained in you. I think that's what I'm really grateful for.
Kind of like the work ethics that have been passed down from generation to generation. Yeah. Anyway, Kent, thank you very much for your time and everything that you've added to this. Well, I certainly hope you have enjoyed or gained something from the last few minutes. When I was growing up, I listened to a radio station, and the one thing that when they would sign off at night, they would say, for Southern California, I wish you all blue skies and green lights. So to see what Cato is up to, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Cato Connect. Until next time, thanks for your time.